This is Rosemary Hall, recording on behalf of the Dialect and Heritage Project. And could I ask you to introduce yourself, please?
I'm Catherine, well, Arnott now, but I was Catherine Borthwick, so I'm Harold Orton's granddaughter.
And what do you remember about your grandfather?
That he was lots of fun. He was wonderful. I'm just sorry that I didn't know him after I was 19, because when you become a teenager and, you know, you're not interested anymore in that kind of thing. And I was really embarrassed about going to university in Leeds, because, you know, people would think, oh, she's got a grandfather who's one of the professors. And I just didn't want that to be known, really. So I kind of avoided talking about him or what. And it's such a shame that we didn't get past that, because, you know, it was a waste, really. But when we were young, no, we loved going. We used to go every holiday to stay with them, because that's what you did in those days. You went to your grandparents, you didn't go on fancy holidays. And we loved going to Leeds. Their house was so warm and welcoming. And though, I mean, Grandpa obviously was working all the time, he loved having us. And because they had a car and we didn't, he would take us up into the Yorkshire Moors for what we called midnight picnics, which basically meant 6 o'clock at night. And Granny would make these, she would do fried chicken the American way and put it in a big flask, and buns, like baps, of course they called them in Yorkshire, and peaches, what I remember, and fizzy. We got to drink fizzy juice or lemonade. And Grandpa would play with us and chat. So that was lovely. And their house was full of just nice things to look at. And Granny had a collection of books that we each had a bedroom, and Granny would have a special collection of books for me and then some for Alan. And it was just lovely. It was warm as well, unlike Edinburgh house. So it was just lovely going there. And Grandpa did spend a lot of, I remember spending time with him. You know, he obviously came home early from work when we were there to take us out on these picnics.
What was he like as a person?
Oh, it was just lovely. Just warm and big and laughing all the time. And yeah, it's lovely. We used to get sometimes a bit fed up as we got older about constantly being asked to repeat things so that he could note down our pronunciation. That used to get a bit trying. Especially as you got older, when you were sort of grumpy teenager and wanting to say your opinion on something, and he would stop and say, how did you say that word again? I'm not interested in the word, I'm trying to tell you something. But yeah, when we were young, it was wonderful.
When do you think you became aware that his work was about dialect?
I don't know. It was just what my parents and grandparents talked about all the time at mealtimes. That's what conversation was. It was discussing words.
It was an awful embarrassing thing of coming down for breakfast, everybody sitting round rather glumly, not saying anything. And then Daddy would suddenly say, let's have a little noise and merriment.
That's right.
It was so embarrassing.
But yeah, that's the phrase I remember, a little noise and merriment. That was one of his favourite.
A little noise and merriment.
Yeah.
What did he mean by that?
Just being jolly and laughing.
Everybody
and
everybody speaking instead of sitting glumly around, not speaking to one another.
Yeah, he liked chat and conviviality, and it was lovely.
When you used to go and stay, would there be any of his colleagues staying or visiting?
Oh, probably, but we wouldn't really have been that interested. I mean, I remember meeting Clive and Sue and probably Stanley Ellis, but
what was that like?
Well, they were just people, and they were, the ones that were friendly, and the ones that were shy wouldn't speak. But Clive and Sue, I remember being chatty, asking how we, you know, how was school, the usual question to teenage children. Otherwise, I definitely went to the dialect room, because either before I was at university or what, because I had 6 months Grandpa died when I was halfway through first year. So whether I went as a student, I don't know.
And was he working right up until he died?
Yeah. Well, he was working really in his mind when he was after the stroke. I mean, I remember going to see him in Harrowby Crescent when he was in the... His study became his bedroom, where Granny looked after him. And I'd only been there about a minute, and he asked me how I said, you know, a word that I'd said. He asked me to say it again so he could listen to it. So he never stopped.
Never stopped?
No.
No, never stopped.
Yeah, lovely memories. I just wish we'd known him longer, because he died far too young, whereas Granny was alive until we had our first child, so that was 84, 85.
I think she died in 85.
Beginning of 85, yeah. So I spent quite a bit of time with her, because we stayed in Leeds after we were married and helped her move into her retirement flat and visited her every weekend and so on. So that sort of kept the memories alive, obviously, and Nathalia visiting and so on.
Tell me about Nathalia.
Well, she was nice. She was a nice person, and drank too much. It always got a bit difficult towards the end. Granny would have to hide, or she would find bottles that Nathalia had hidden. Yeah, so that was
a bit hard, wasn't it?
Yeah, it got a bit hard towards the end. But I never saw her tipsy or anything like that. I mean, that was hidden from me, I suppose, but I knew that it was a problem.
Mm-hmm. But I know you mentioned sort of not being interested as a teenager, but later on, when did you sort of realise what your grandfather had done?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a linguist in a sense, because I did languages at university, and I now teach English as a second language, so it's all come through. Alan's got the archivist bit and I've got the language bit. So, yeah. And I'm really interested in how people pronounce things. And my interest is the beginning level of teaching English, so about getting pronunciation right. And I love doing phonetics at university. I did a year's phonetics and linguistics, or whatever it was called. I think it was just phonetics, actually, at university. I do remember Grandpa asking me how I enjoyed that and if I liked Miss Shirt, who was our lecturer. I don't know what her first name was, but she was Miss Shirt. And she was great, actually. She was really fun. Quite strict, but we really enjoyed it and I loved it. But, yeah, went on to other things. I didn't pursue that at that stage, but came back to English later on. So it must have had an influence.
Wonderful, yeah.
It could be quite embarrassing, couldn't it? If you were in a cafe or something with Grandpa, and then he would suddenly start mimicking the people at the next table. And that was really quite difficult, because it was quite obvious that he was mimicking them.
Yeah, he had a loud voice, I remember, a lovely boomy voice and lovely big chuckle. I don't know whether he sang, did he? I mean, I don't remember him singing, but he would have had a good voice.
The trouble was that he had this beautiful treble voice, and with the choir people in the village, the men had been called up, and so my father was landed with singing the anthems in church when he shouldn't have been, because his voice was breaking and he was having to sing these treble anthems, and then of course his voice broke late when he was 16, I think. Mm-hmm. And then he was called up and he had to imitate the sergeant in charge of their group, and he made him give the orders and stuff, being a bit funny about this because my father's voice hadn't really broken properly. That spoiled his singing voice completely, which was a shame, really. That's one of these things that happen.
I remember him playing the piano a bit, but I think it was just frustrating for him because he couldn't.
Yes, he was play. Just doing chords with his hand and having to do the melody with his left hand and
the wrong way around.
Wrong way around.
Is there any other memories you'd like to share?
One memory that I have quite strongly is when we were at Granny and Grandpa's, there was a documentary on when I must have been about 14, 15, came on about the Second World War and the concentration camps, and Grandpa being terribly upset and shooing me out of the room, saying, "No, the little girl mustn't see this," because that's what I was called, I think, the little girl. The little girl mustn't see this. And of course, I was going out of the room trying to see the screen, because obviously if someone says no, you want to do it. But he was obviously, he was visibly upset. I mean, there were tears in his eyes, and he needed to watch it for him, but very keen that we wouldn't see that. I don't know why that one sticks in my mind, but I think it was because he very rarely told us not to do things. I mean, he was always so nice, but this was very definitely no.
Well, he didn't speak about his war service to Granny until the last year of his life when he spoke about it.
Do you know anything about what he told her?
No, because he never said anything to me. He would have spoken about it to my cousin John, who was younger than me, 4 months younger than me, which annoyed me that he wouldn't tell me, but he told John, because John was a man. But he was very, very sensitive about that kind of thing. There was a good deal of a repartee, apparently, about the way when he took groups of students out dialect hunting, and he sent the men up to a sort of hidden bit of a field or something and told them to dig the latrines there, because nobody would then see the girls going to use them. They thought it was funny, you know, because he would try to hide them from them, these things that shouldn't be spoken of between men and women. Young men and girls.
I suppose those were the attitudes of the time,
yes,
partly, weren't they?
He was protecting the girls from all these things.
Yeah, well, I suppose that was, protecting me from... I mean, you were much younger than me, so you wouldn't have been probably you'd have been in bed by then anyway. But he didn't differentiate between the two of us in any way, from what I remember, you know, like, girls do this, boys do that. I think we were just treated the same. We both had a bike. We both did the same things.
And Betty, you obviously had a fantastic education as well.
Yes. That's my father's brothers and sisters, and himself.
Which one is he? This one?
Yes.
That's amazing. I'll have to take a picture of that in a minute. Thank you, Catherine. That's fantastic.
Pleasure.
I'll stop it there.